It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson. Be Ready, Utah.
As you know, KSL is partnering all year on emergency preparedness with Be Ready, Utah to bring you important information. And as always, we're very grateful to have joining us on the line Wade Matthews, who's the Public Information Officer for the Utah Department of Public Safety and Division of Emergency Management. Wade, thanks for jumping on today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
As we continue to kind of go down all the different scenarios in terms of things that we do need to be ready for, one that we often don't talk about, a lot of people don't even like to think about, is dealing with bioterrorism. What does that look like from kind of that preemptive thing? What should we be thinking about when it comes to being prepared for that kind of tragedy?
Yeah, a biological threat basically is an infectious disease that has the potential to spread and cause an outbreak. So we've all just lived through one. It wasn't necessarily biological threat. We all just lived through a similar situation with the pandemic, you know, and so I think what people have to think about is how did they get through that? What did they do, especially in the early time frame when there was a lot of social isolation and not going to the store, staying home? You know, do they have the supplies that they needed long term to just sit at home and ride it out?
Yeah, I think that's something we often don't think about, that in that kind of thing, whether it's a bioterrorism or just an outbreak, a pandemic, that just doing some of those basic things that you've been stressing to us all year in terms of emergency kits, some things on hand. What is it that we should include in that, things like immunization and things like that, that we should be thinking about?
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of different types of biological threats, you know, including things like botulism, anthrax, plague, smallpox, tularemia, viral hemorrhagic fevers. Some of those might have a vaccination for them. Smallpox, obviously, is one example. And if there's a vaccine available, that's the, you know, that's a way to prepare for that. That's a way to be a survivor if we are faced with a biological threat of one of those types. If you can get vaccinated, get vaccinated. Secondly, you know, as I mentioned, think about, do you have the supplies that you need at home? Do you have, again, masks? Do you have hand sanitizer? Things like that that will help protect you if you have to go out into the public or out into areas where the biological threat may be existing. Otherwise, if you can stay home, stay home. That means, you know, a lot of medications, first aid supplies, and definitely food and water storage.
Yeah, one that kind of caught my attention that, again, I know I hadn't really thought about was just in terms of making sure that the filter system within your house is functioning in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a good thing to keep in mind. Something to consider too, though, if it is dangerous and if there is a threat outside, if you are ordered to shelter in place, for example, you may want to be closing your doors and windows and turning off your air handling system so it's not drawing in contaminated air as well. So that's also part of the protective action for sheltering or sheltering in place, which could be applied to a biological threat, would be to turn those air handling systems off, your furnaces and air conditioners, so that they are not drawing in contaminated air.
Perfect. And so let's kind of go through a scenario. Let's say it is an anthrax or something like that. What are the things that we need to be doing? Obviously, you know, keeping a radio or TV on to get some of that information as it comes. What are some of the early things that you should be thinking about for yourself, for your family, and those you care about?
Yeah, having, again, a basic family disaster plan would be definitely an early step, and that applies to all hazards. You know, and in that is the communications section. You know, how are you going to communicate with your family if you're faced with any of these threats? You know, if you're separated at the time that the threat occurs, how will you be reunited? Do you have an out-of-state telephone contact? Do you have meeting places? And hopefully you'll be able to get back home where you have your supplies, where you're comfortable, and you know you can be together as a family. Otherwise, have an alternative plan of someplace else to go. The wise thing would be outside of the danger area, if at all possible. When we know that there's a threat or a danger approaching us or where we're at, the best thing to do is get out of the area, get out of the way. Have those basic elements of a family disaster plan in place, first of all. And again, start thinking about food and water storage if you haven't already, because, if we have to stay home to avoid overcrowding, trying to not, be in the big crowds, where these types of things are spreading, you're going to need food and water storage and just, basic medications, over-the-counter medications, your prescriptions, make sure those are up to date and filled, and have those things on hand for long term as well.
Okay. And then let's just real quickly, let's say that it's the unfortunate thing and you are exposed to something like that. What are the first things that we need to do in that kind of situation?
You're going to seek medical help as much as possible. That's pretty much your only recourse, is to seek medical help. There's not a lot that you can do at home to treat yourself if you've been exposed to a biological hazard. Notify the authorities and follow the instructions that they provide to you, to help overcome that.
All right. And anything else that we should be thinking about just kind of as that extends out? Any other ideas or tips that we should be thinking about?
Being healthy in the first place is a good defense against this type of thing. Staying healthy, eating nutritiously, balanced foods, exercising. As I mentioned, get your vaccinations. Try to avoid overcrowding. Be educated about these things. Information, knowledge is power. Educate yourselves about these things. And then be aware. Just monitor the news. Stay alert and aware of just kind of what's going on around us in the world. And that knowledge also helps us be prepared if we are actually faced with those types of threats.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. As we always say, opportunity favors the prepared, even if it's being prepared for a suboptimal experience or situation. We have to be ready so that we can do the right things and keep ourselves safe, our families, and be able to contribute in the community there as well. Again, Wade Matthews, Wade, always appreciate your perspective on this. Wade is the Be Ready Utah Program Manager. He's also the Public Information Officer for the Utah Department of Public Safety's Division of Emergency Management. Wade, thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to KSL's Emergencies Preparedness Series, Be Ready Utah. Have questions about emergency preparedness and not sure where to start? Find the answers at beready.utah.gov. We're going to step aside for one last commercial break. Don't go anywhere. Much more on KSL News Radio's Inside Sources. I have some final thoughts for you today. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.